inglis.com.au.
Can't wait to have your company on Monday morning on Punters Postmortem from 9 a.m. Join myself, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffy, and Glenn Munsey. All the good runs, the bad runs from a big meeting at Rosehill Gardens. Egg Tart, can she keep her undefeated record intact? Plus, a full dress rehearsal for the Golden Rose with the Run to the Roses. Should be a tremendous contest with some exciting three-year-olds. While in Melbourne, we've got the Darto with some cup hopefuls going on the line, along with Russian Revolution in the McEwen Stakes. On his way to the Everest. All that, plenty more on Punters Postmortem from 9 a.m. Make sure you join us.
Warrawee Needy was freakishly fast at 2:149.4. Warrawee Needy was faster still at 3. Warrawee Needy was the fastest horse in the world at 4:146.4. Warrawee Needy was one of the fastest and most exciting pacers of the last decade. Warrawee Needy, standing at Urabee Stud in New South Wales. Visit urabee.com.au. On Sky Sports Radio. Pacing Rewind is brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to comedyequine.com.au.
It's time to take a look at harness racing now at this morning's Pacing Rewind. Greg Hayes, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How was Menangle last night?
It was very good. The racing was exciting. It was a little bit cold as the sun went down, but spring obviously has sprung, just not the warm nights out of an angle. Look, the racing itself was good. The star of the show was Galactic Star, who went around in the Group 3, which was the sixth race on the program, a former WA horse that's arrived here in Sydney for Craig Cross and Luke McCarthy. It really stands itself as a horse that's going to have some fun in the free-for-alls at Menangle over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And outside of that, we saw Amanda Turnbull enjoy another winning run. She won 3 races last as a driver. She trained 2 of those. She drove 1 for Dad Steve as well. And it was basically a night where the Bathurst people dominated.
Let's take a listen to the replay of the feature from last night. The Ainsworth Game Technology Pace won by Galactic Star.
4:50 left to travel. The leader, Galactic Star, 3 parts of a length away, Dash of Luck. Then followed Mac Beauty, 3rd split, 26.8. He's got them running. Then followed behind those, Smoky Quartz, Aztec Promac trying to get out. Double Event, Shadow Rain out wider. Galactic Star in front, 1:50 left to run. He found a kick. He leads by 2 to Mac Beauty. He tries hard. Then Shadow Rain out wider. But Class mark it down with a capital C, Galactic Star. He's just too good for them. He burnt them into the ground.
Yeah, it was Galactic Star winning last night. So where do you think they'll head to with Galactic Star now, Greg?
Look, they'll keep him ticking over in Sydney for the next month or so. Obviously, formerly trained by Greg and Sky Bond over in WA. The horse with the size of the Bond team reducing while Greg's sitting out at the moment, and Sky's looking after the team at a new property that they've sort of dispersed their horses a little bit because they did have such a big team. This bloke's come across to New South Wales, not really as a horse that they wanted to disperse because they didn't have room, but they're actually looking at a race like Victoria Cup for him. So he's over here. Luke said after the race that the plan, according to Craig, is to keep the horse ticking over until the Victoria Cup. If his form warrants it, to get him down to Victoria for that race in the middle of October. If he performs as expected in that and does a good job, they'd then send him back to Sky Bond for the Inter-Dominion Series, which, of course, will be run in November, December. So Galactic Star, he really stamped himself last night. He did go, a lot of people may not remember, he ran 10th in the Golden Nugget over in WA at the end of last year, and that was behind Soho Tribeca. Nathan's Courage was in that race. Chicago Bull was in that race. He was only 16 metres behind the winner. Luke McCarthy actually drove Galactic Star in the Golden Nugget. He showed last night that he's got blinding speed. He ran his last 800 in 54.3 at the end of 2,300 metres, 26.8, 27.5. He didn't give anything else a chance in that race once he got away with a pretty slow middle half, 30.5 and 29.8. But he's a serious horse. They're going to have some fun with him over here. He's obviously going to draw poorly in these free-for-alls over the next few weeks because last night he drew 11. And then he's come out and he's won the free for all. And of course, the barrier draw goes on prize money one. So we'll see him in the group threes. We'll see him draw wide. Be interesting to see their tactics when they race over the shorter trip, the 1609. He's obviously suited by the longer trip, the 2300, where they could push forward and find the front. But he's a great addition to the free for all ranks here in New South Wales.
Last Wednesday at Bathurst, Hazy, the Evolution Series got underway at the first of those heats, won by Uncle Ryan for the Frisbees.
Yeah, exactly right. The Evolution Series, a really good concept for harness racing New South Wales. Obviously, mindful that the fields can drop away at this time in the season because of you've got no two-year-olds at the start of the new season, so you've got no two-year-old racing. And a lot of people tend to put their horses into the paddock, especially the three-year-olds, give them some time to develop. They've done their two-year-old racing, give them a break as an early three-year-old and bring them back for the bigger races later on in the season. But what Harness Racing New South Wales has done is decided to put some $10,000 heats and a big final on through the Evolution Series to try and keep those three-year-olds in work in the early part of the season. Look, they might not be the top-line three-year-olds. They might not be the Derby three-year-olds, but they are handy, and we've just seen with Uncle Ryan winning that race on Wednesday. Look, he's a four-time winner already for the Frisbee camp, and he's won four of his last five. So they got him ticking over nicely towards the end of the season. I think he won three of his last four as the season wrapped up, and then ran a second at Menangle behind Madame Leaser. So he's a very nice two-year-old, was a nice two-year-old, nice three-year-old. He's going to be a major player in that Evolution Series final. The Evolution Series, there was also a heat run last night at Newcastle as well. I know it was a massive night for Ricky Elkin, who picked up a treble there, but there was also, as mentioned, a heat of that series at Newcastle. So good to see the racing continuing in that sort of vein.
Well, Greg, our special guest is joining us now. Chris Geary's on the line. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris, mate, congratulations. A lot of people wouldn't know. There hasn't been an official announcement, but you will be one of the two drivers to represent New South Wales at the National Driving Championships, which will be held in Tasmania in the not-too-distant future. So a chance to represent your state. And, mate, that's after what was a sensational season last year where you ended up with 149 winners. So you must be pretty proud of that achievement.
Yeah, that's for sure, Greg. Pretty honoured and privileged to be chosen for something like this. Sort of only been driving for a few years, and these sort of things have probably been pretty fortunate. They seem to have come around pretty early on and quickly, but we'll just try and go with both ends and make the most of it.
Mate, have you felt pressure on your career because, look, I remember you were one of the faces of the Inner Dominion series when you were only a kid. You were at press conferences with people like Natalie Rasmussen and Brian Hancock. You were the young kid that, everyone was touting to be a future star. Did it make it tough on you in the early days because of that pressure, or did that sort of spur you on to where you've got to now?
It probably was a little bit tough early on. I sort of, because of that, I probably a lot of the times tried to make something out of nothing, so to speak, and just sort of couldn't figure out why things at times just weren't seem to go in my way. But, as probably everyone knows, and you learn eventually that it doesn't work like that. So, it's probably taken a few seasons to sort of find a rhythm and, build up a lot of relationships with, I've got some really good trainers that, consistently stick behind me and some good owners as well. But, probably at the start I probably did used to put a little bit too much pressure on myself, but I think especially the last sort of 6 to 8 months, I've just really been trying to enjoy the racing, and it is what it is, and if you have a bad day, just leave it at the track and move on.
2015-2016 season, you ended up with 136 winners. You finished third on the premiership, and you won $949,000 in stakes. Last year in New South Wales, you improved on that, 149 winners and more than $1.4 million in stakes. Obviously, that was all boosted thanks to the support of the Tritton stable with Lauren out for the majority of most of the end of the season because of the birth of Levi. Now that Lauren's back, that's going to dry up to some extent. But you mentioned, you do have an association with other stables. So you still are going to, you know, have plenty of drives each and every week.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like Shane and Lauren were both great to me and give me a lot of good opportunities with some really nice horses, which probably can't thank them enough for. But in saying that, you know, I do have a lot of other trainers and owners that do continue to use me to drive their horses. So I'm pretty lucky in one way. You know, I was really fortunate to have Shane and a big team behind me last season. But you know, hopefully, you know, this coming season things just sort of, you know, keep ticking along as they are, and keep picking up drives and yeah, hopefully winning races.
Mate, are you training a few these days?
Yeah, we've got a few. Dad and myself, we've got a few up at an angle there. I think there's six there at the moment, so that keeps us a bit busy during the day. And it's probably something I'd like to look into a little bit more in the next few years. You know, getting a few horses and trying my arm in a different aspect of the game. But you know, just for now, I'm pretty happy with driving. But yeah, just having a few horses to play around with and race every week, I get a bit of a kick out of that too.
It's something you've been around from such a young age, isn't it? There probably was never really a question what you were going to do with your career.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you ask Dad, he probably, in a way, he's as supportive in that as he was with everything. For a while there, I think he would have been happy to see me, you know, go and get a trade or do something, but I suppose it was just never really going to happen. And I think he even knew that from a young age as well as myself. It was just something, you know, I always dreamed of doing and wanted to do. So, I've had a lot of luck and met a lot of good people through doing it. So I probably wouldn't change that.
Mate, without the backing of the Tritton stable as the number one driver, you'll obviously pick up drives as the two driver behind Lauren. But does that mean we'll see you travel to more of the country meetings? Will you get to Newcastle and Bathurst and Canberra and places like that if the opportunities are there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, probably I was quieting down a little bit on travelling last season. I mean, the year before, I think there was a few of us that, you know, we raced day in, day out, and we went anywhere to drive. Myself, Jack Traynor, Todd McCarthy, we sort of just jumped in the car whenever there was a meeting and we'd sort of go together. But, you know, last season was probably a little bit quieter. Obviously, with the way the scheduling is and the race meetings, it makes it a little bit hard to get to some of those places. But for sure, it's something I've sort of never been afraid of, and I think you've got to be able to throw yourself out there and jump in the car and travel, do drives. You know, I've met a lot of good people and had a lot of good connections from trainers out in those like regional areas. So, yeah, it's probably something that I'd like to get back into and start doing again.
Well, mate, congratulations on being selected to represent New South Wales, along with Amanda Turnbull. You and Amanda finished 1-2 on the state premiership in 16-17, so you'll be the two drivers representing New South Wales in Tasmania, and hopefully we can get a win for New South Wales this time. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate. Appreciate it.
There he is, Chris Geary, Simon. Only a young fella, doesn't sound it. He's got an older person's voice, but a very talented young reinsman. He admitted it there in the interview. Probably took him a little longer than he thought just to settle in, but last two seasons it has been really good for him. It's been, you know, head down, bum up sort of thing, and he's picked up 136 winners in 15-16, 149 winners in 16-17. So I think the Chris Geary star will just continue to rise over the next couple of years.
And on Inter Dominion news, the noms, they came out Friday, was it?
Yeah, they're all locked in. They've attracted some really big guns, some really big names. They're all there. And most importantly, I know that the market went up with tab.com.au on Monday or Tuesday. Straight away, there was some support for Lazarus, which is great because Lazarus is, you know, he's the horse that you want to get to the series. He's obviously going to be concentrating on the New Zealand Cup on the second Tuesday in November. But after that, Mark Purden, Natalie Rasmussen, they've made it quite clear they want to get Lazarus across to Perth for the Inter Dominion. He'd be a massive draw card. Obviously, Galactic Star, who we saw win last night, the horse that, you know, all of a sudden people will be talking about now. And a forgotten horse, to some extent, would be Tiger Tara, who we haven't seen since the Blacks are fake. The plan is to get him ready for the Inter Dominion. I spoke with Kevin Pizzuto, his trainer, last night. He's really happy with Tiger Tara. He's back fast working. He also mentioned that they collected some semen from the horse while he was having a short break after the Blacks are fake, and that semen is available to breeders at the moment. And I know that he's going to set up a bit of an advertising campaign in the next couple of weeks or so to try and encourage that. But he's a horse that has been already back, Tiger Tara, in the Inter Dominion series. An interesting little thing that Kev said to me last night was that with the Inter Dominion coming up, he's going across to Perth. If he goes over there and he finds a property that he really likes and it's for sale, he'd be inclined to buy it and stay over in WA. He's one of the very few here in Sydney that think that the condition racing isn't good for his stable of horses. Everyone else seems to be pretty supportive of it. Kev's not one of those. And saying maybe Perth's the future for him, and then said maybe, just maybe, he might look to go to the States with Tiger Tara. So Kevin Pizzuto's got his mind ticking over at the moment, just what the next step after the Inter Dominion is with the superstar Tiger Tara. But exciting time, Simon, with the big race is just around the corner. Middle of October, we go to Melbourne for the Victoria Cup, and then the New Zealand Cup in the middle of November, and then across to Perth for the Inter Dominion in the end of November, start of December.
Good stuff. You'd be looking forward to getting back to Canada at some stage. That looked like a wonderful trip.
Mate, it was fantastic. The Canadians were really receptive to having me as part of their coverage. The figures were released for turnover during the week. Not only in Canada was the turnover great, but back here in Australia, we overperformed from what we were expected to do. So really happy with that, and they've been invited back to be part of the American coverage for the US Breeders' Crown, which is at the end of October. So really looking forward to being a part of that. And now the countdown's on for that. It's only 6 or 7 weeks away.
You must be looking forward to that. Good on you, Hazy. Thanks very much for stepping in for Pacing Rewind this morning, and we'll no doubt chat again next week.
Good on you, Simon. Thanks, mate.
So Greg Hayes there. It's 13 to 11. We'll take a break, and then Dave Carlson is going to join me with this morning's Chasing Rewind.
At Bingley, receive free full-service delivery when you buy a fridge or washer, including unboxing and removal of the packaging and old fridge or washer. Only at Bingley for a limited time. See in-store or bingley.com.au for details.
Welcome to this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind. Dave Carlson is with me. And Dave, good morning.
Good morning from Armidale, Simon.
So you've got a busy day ahead of you, Dave. You're from Armidale back to Sydney and then over to Melbourne and down to Sandown.
I can't wait. We'll get into that in a moment. The Speed Star is on. You'll see it on Sky Racing 2, and there's open access to all Foxtel subscribers on Sky Racing 2. In other words, it's free. And myself and James Vandermeer on track from 5:30. And in the studio will be Jason Lincoln. So you're going to be covered from Sandown. What a night it's going to be.
We'll touch on the Speed Star series shortly, but firstly, let's reflect on Wentworth Park as a couple of crackers last night.
Indeed, the Group 2 Bob Payne Spring Sprint Final was race number 8, worth $40,000 to the winner. Uphill Jewel from Victoria jumped to the front and watched the Wasp chase it down.
Racing, Mr. Twisted Uphill Juice, Bill, both begin okay, showing speed, flying Michaela. Uphill Jill is burning, she's gone to the lead, she sprinted away into the back over flying Michaela Techno, followed up by Watch the Wasp, further back in the run, Mr. Twisted, they're followed by Little Nanga, they're followed by Beacon Street, and at the tail of the field is Chevy King. Uphill Jill, she led by 4, Watch the Wasp was the only danger. Uphill Jill in front, Watch the Wasp goes up, grab the lead, Watch the Wasp was too good in the Bob Payne.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Dave, Stewie Turner, who's been doing this spot for so long, he's just left, was tipping Watch the Wasp a few weeks ago. He said it's one to follow, and the day he leaves, he wins a feature race at $14.
Well, congratulations. I hope Stewie got on, but congratulations to trainer Dean Swain. Watch the Wasp from box number 2, chase down Uphill Jill for David Deal. David must be just saying to himself, what do I have to do to win a group race at Wentworth Park? That's the third time one of his greyhounds has been a bridesmaid in a group event, and Uphill Jill's been that bridesmaid before. And but all honours to Dean Swain's Watch the Wasp. Won well in the heat from box eight, moved to box number two, and I spoke to Dean on Going Greyhound last Monday morning, and he said, look, he's very happy with the draw because he had Uphill Jill in the one and Mr. Twister for Jace McKay in the three, and he thought if he can get a cosy run behind them, he could be ready to pounce because the son of Shaky Jakey in Midnight News is very, very strong late. Well, that's what happened. But heading out of the straight, on the point of that turn the first time out of the straight, you had Uphill Jill burning straight to the lead, and you had Mr. Twister there, and Watch the Wasp was on the rails and in not a bad position, but just wanted to shift up the track on the point of the turn, and absolutely almost hurdled his kennel mate, Tecto, in the process, went out wide, but then found the rails again, and coming off the back was after Uphill Jill, and it was a really thrilling finish. It was a length of the winning margin, 29 and 99, and I'm sure Dean was delighted because he ran second in the race with Rue de Khan back in 2014. Watch the Wasp. Look, it's only a baby, really. It's now won eight of just 17 starts. It's owned by Robert Jones, a first-time greyhound owner who races thoroughbred, so I'm sure Robert is going to get plenty of more greyhounds now after winning the Group 2 Bob Payne. But it was Watch the Wasp number two from the one Uphill Jill. Number three, Mr. Twister for Jason McKay in third, and Techno also for Dean Swain. Number six, running fourth.
And earlier on the night, Dave, we had the Chairman's Cup for the Stayers.
Yes, indeed. And just like the Bob Payne, we had a tearaway leader in Talia's Way, but Billy's Bake from Victoria ran that greyhound down.
Racing. Mr. Shire began midfield and Stars Alight fired out the lead on settling down. Talia's Way is moving up on the outside to put on the pressure. Keko Potion out 3D back on the inside. Billy's Bake. Then Catalora, Mr. Shire, followed up by Sherbini. And Jalapeno can see them all through the bottom corner. And Talia's Way has gone to the lead. Put up three on Stars Alight. Keko Potion. They'll follow by Billy's Bake. Catalora, Mr. Shire. They'll follow by Sherbini and Jalapeno, still last, coming off the back. Little Talia's Way by three. Keko Potion, Mr. Shire's rattling home with Billy's Bake. The leader, Talia's Way. Billy's Bake descending. Billy's Bake grabbed the lead. Billy's Bake won. Beat Talia's Way.
Yeah, so Talia's Way just getting grabbed right in the shadows there, David. As you said, Billy's Bake for Ian Garland, the $8 winner.
Indeed, and another great call from Timmy Newbold, the battler, right on song at Wentworth Park. Yeah, Ian Garland from Victoria. Billy's Bake, second Wentworth Park run after finishing fourth in the heats. 42 and 64 was the time and a $25,000 to the winner event. Two lengths was the winning margin. Now, Billy's Bake, certainly the chances lifted with the scratchings during the week of Phantom Bale and Outside Pass. Look, those greyhounds were going to put a stack of extra pace in the race, but Parley's Way for Johnny Dart provided that. And Billy's Bake, a greyhound which just sometimes is a little bit reluctant to go through gaps, but if a gap opens wide enough, it'll pounce through, and that's exactly what the greyhound did in the straight. And Billy's Bake, well, it's named after a Melbourne radio segment on Triple M by former AFL star Billy Brownless, where he basically gives what he wants to give a bake, and the greyhound's by Barsha Bale out of Evie's Entity. Now, an interesting note, close to home from Sky Racing, Simon. He was bred by our very own James Vandermark,
and he
was purchased by the Brook Supremacy Syndicate. And the litter is a really good litter. One of the litter mates won at Hobart on Thursday night. Now, Billy's Bake only had his first 700 start in June. Has now won five of nine over the staying journey, including the Saturday night's group victory, last night's group victory, and a win over Burn One down in the heats of the Destiny Fireball. So congratulations to Ian Garland and all of the connections. Talia's Way, John Dart, Gallant second. Keko Potion ran a good race from the six box for third for Steph Kassar, and Mr. Shire for Bob McComb out of the seven box was in fourth position.
He's right into his greyhounds, James, isn't he? I think he bred one a few years ago called Fruit Man.
He did indeed. Look, he loves his greyhounds, James. He's had a bit of the flu over the weekend, and yesterday he drove to Port Melbourne and put a greyhound on the Spirit of Tasmania to go down to the Apple Isle. He went back to his sick bed, and he was watching the greyhounds flicking over, watching the thrilling Port Port Adelaide West Coast AFL match, and he's going to be on deck today calling the Healesville Cup. The final of the Healesville Cup is race number 8 on the card at 19 minutes past 1, and he thinks Zinzan Brook from the 2 box can take it out. So that's James's tip. Equal favourite with Ando's Mac out of the 8 for Anthony as a party. They're at 3.50 just minutes ago on tab.com.au fixed for the Healesville Cup final. So James will call Healesville and then bolt down to Sandown and meet me for the Speed Star. Canberra today too. Kelly Rourke's going to be calling the 6 seats of the Canberra Cup. The first heat is race 3 at 5.29.
Yeah, that Healesville Cup's a beauty. So Ando's Mac there from 8, Zinzan Brook from 2, Aston DB's drawn barrier or box 1, and Burnlike Fire from the 7 there at $5. That's on this afternoon at 1.19, and James Vandermark the call, as you mentioned. And Dave, we said that you were en route to Sandown for the Speed Star. For those listening that don't know a lot about the concept, just see if you can explain it to us.
Well, look, it was held in May, but this time it's a brand new format. There's $150,000 up for grabs, Simon, and 48 of Australia's fastest greyhounds are going to contest 24 match races. That's 2 dogs in each match race, one jumping from box 1, one jumping from box 3. So put it in layman's terms, there are 6 events, each with 4 match races. So that's 24 head-to-head races with a total of 48 dogs, and you can wager on them. Now, if you just go to the tab app or the tab website, on the top you will see the various little buttons you can press to be directed to them. So you won't miss them. You have the Speed Star head-to-head markets and the Sunday specials markets. It's very important for New South Wales and ACTAB customers to note that betting for each of the 6 events will cease at the jump of the first match race. So 5:41 p.m. the first match race. You've got to get on if you want to go for the overall winner of the Speed Star before the first match race. Now, great news, Simon, that all Foxtel customers are going to get open access to Sky Racing 2 for the entire meeting. So it's free. So Sky Racing 2. I'll be on with James from the track from 5:30 with Jason Lincoln in the studio. There are 6 events. There are 4 sprint events, including the Speed Star itself and the tab.com.au. There's the Galactic Diamond over the middle distance. And the other event is the Stayers Challenge over the 700. And I tell you what, Simon, there's some absolutely mouth-watering match races. Bewildering versus the Harrison Dawson winner, and that's Black Mumbo in match race number 2 in the Speed Star is going to be a beauty. The Punga Blazer versus Worm Burner in match race number 4. 30 Talks is in the 4th match race at the tab.com.au and has been very heavily backed. In the Stayers Challenge, which kicks off at 8:31, Ebby Ripper versus Cooter's Lab. That's the 2nd match race, and that's going to be fantastic. So basically 24 match races and 6 events, 4 match races in each event for the Speed Star. Very exciting and great to bet on it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Now, there's a range of options with tab.com.au. You go into sports and then into racing extras, and that brings up all of those markets there for the Speed Star. Good stuff, Dave. Anything else for us before we let you get on your bomber, mate?
Oh, mate, look, I just want to congratulate Tommy Savella. So he trained Gadsby Road, who took out the Townsville Cup from Swapia and Opal Mira in 28.90 last Tuesday. And, well, our thoughts certainly go out to the Maddock family with Maddie Maddock, the husband of trainer Ruth Maddock, passing away. So our sympathy certainly to the Maddock family from everyone in greyhound racing.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much for your time, Dave, and enjoy Sandown later on. We'll be watching you on telly.
I can't wait, Simon. Bring it on.
Whether you like having a bet, a punt, or even a flutter, it's time to get on Trackside. With races 24/7 and better odds on all runners in all races, you've got more chances to win big. Head to your local tab to get on Trackside. Gamble responsibly.
On Sky Sports Radio. Pacing Rewind is brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to comedyequine.com.au. Sky Sports Radio is all over the Newcastle Spring Carnival. Friday, there's 4 Group 3 races, including the Tibby, the Cameron Handicap, and the Newcastle Cup. Catch the Newcastle Cup Day winners Friday morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio.
Tintin in America. Winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder.
Tintin in America.
Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now